All right, we are back for part two. This is ridiculous. I've tried to start part two so many times, and I keep screwing up and losing my place. So I'm going to try really hard not to look away at anything and remember what I wanted to say before. So when we left off in part one, the last episode, we were talking about Brad Jones, who is the man who is traveling internationally with Mr. McKesson, that I did realize I was spelling incorrectly, and that was causing me some issues in between. But, you know, you could probably tell I was maybe feeling the effects of my medications. You know, I had some edibles. And it got to be, I couldn't come back and do part two earlier, so I just started doing some more Googling and taking a lot of notes. And let me tell you, when I say this shit is in fact bananas, you best believe it is. And it all comes full circle. Dusty McKesson, just by the by, he ran for city council a few years ago in a place you might remember called St. Charles, Missouri. Like, what the fucking fuck? Yeah, I mean, it's apropos of nothing, but it just, like, how does this come back around to my shit again? But anyway, besides that, it also involves a Christmas tree organization and a national, international, or American, I can't figure it out, documents company that all checks out. Like, everything that I was finding earlier when I was taking notes was like, I would Google something and it comes up and I'd read the name and it, oh my gosh, that sounds ridiculous. There's no way this shit's true. And then I would look some more shit up and be like, oh my God, it's real. So, I mean, that's certainly helping me understand something about my own bias. I mean, I've realized I have my own bias, of course. So this is an exercise in a lot of things. So, let's go back onto the research portion here. And I am going to allow myself to be slightly distracted for one moment while I go light this candle. No, I think what happened earlier, that Focus chocolate bar that I got, it was a sativa, and it was a decent dose, more than maybe I'm used to, but, you know, like I say, also it was a sativa, so I definitely think I do better with those strains, and it probably doesn't even really make a difference anyways. But I think that one was just a little bit much for me. This currently is, again, the Insane in the Membrane. This is good. I recommend it. So, next we are moving through some of these claims. And, you know, I haven't actually looked through all of these in the time between when I finished recording part one and now that I'm starting. I'm still quite clearly just sitting here a little stony and Googling as I go. So now I can focus. Did you guys watch that? I know that everything sounds like I'm just such a disaster. Well, it's true. I am such a disaster. And I have all these notes and notes I've taken, and I don't even have them where I can reach them. So I'm not 100% sure why I took them. But, hey, it's... Oh, man. And I'm going to have to move this again. So, before I so rudely interrupted myself... Next, I would like to go on and start getting into more of the claims that Mr. McKesson is making. I think the next thing probably is the bombing in Egypt. So I am getting to his page. Oh, I'm going to get through all the different pages. Oh my gosh, there's a group that says Dusty McKesson's daddy did it. Do I have to join to be able to see anything? It's weird. Let's see what the about says. A place to discuss theories and what the fuck findings. Well, sorry, I got distracted on the automatic feeding things. Okay, well, anyways, I haven't looked at this stuff, this page that popped up. Did it just pop up today? I don't know. But, regardless, I'm getting into Dusty McKesson's page. So, this is on the post from today, where he says that tomorrow he'll be doing a comprehensive timeline of his parents' lives. And so we are going to look for what he says about the trip to Egypt, he and his coworker. Okay, and as we had said, the date printed on the picture should be the date it was developed, not the day the picture was taken. A user on Facebook, on the post where I posted that, said that that's not the case. So, okay. I mean, I don't... When I looked back through to Google, there wasn't really a definitive answer. It was, like, really old ones. Really old pictures were the date that was printed on them. It was the date they were developed. But newer, old-timey pictures that have to be developed are not necessarily one way or the other, but a person who certainly knows better than me, because I wouldn't have any reason to know, says that that's not the case. So I need to correct that. So I stand corrected. But we are talking about those dates in March of 1993. Now, I believe that he posted in here a link to an article about the bombing. Yes, here it is, apnews.com. Because I'm finding a lot of stuff. Look at, you know, the URLs, the full, you know, gobbledygook all the way. I'm finding some weird things, and I'm not, I don't want to say tech savvy because that makes me sound so stupid, but I'm so computer stupid that I only know enough to know that it doesn't seem right. That's all. So this is an article from AP from March 16th, 1993 that does say a bomb exploded today under an empty tourist bus outside the Egyptian Museum. I want to get a note card here. Jesus, Steph. I'm a disaster. Because I want to have notes on everything, whether I said it already or not. 316 of 93 AP. An empty tour bus outside the Egyptian Museum. That's enough for my note. On Tahrir Square, one of Cairo's largest and busiest public spaces, police say there were no casualties. The blast outside Egypt's biggest museum, home to thousands of pharaonic, I mean, I understand it's derived from Pharaoh, but I don't know how to pronounce it, items, including the famed King Tut gold treasures and royal mummies, broke the bus windows and blew out a luggage compartment. Windows in five empty buses parked nearby were also shattered. No immediate claim of responsibility, but a militant Islamic group has been attacking tourism targets in an effort to drive away foreign visitors. The extremist, who is in self-exile in the United States. Oh, it's a group. Led by radical cleric Omar Abdel Rahman. He is in self-exile in the United States. Want to install an Iranian-style Islamic theocracy. Two men who worship at the mosque where Abdel Rahman preaches have been charged in the February 26 bombing of the World Trade Center in New York. The bus bombing came a day after police arrested 150 Muslim radicals in a raid on a small island in the Nile River near Assiut, a center of extremist violence about 200 miles south of Cairo. One policeman was reported killed in the raid, the latest in a nationwide crackdown on the militants. John Traynor, a tourist from Scotland, said we heard a bang. First we thought something fell, but then 15 minutes later we came out and saw the crowds and police and realized it was a bomb. Well, that's terrifying. Now, let's see. If there's anything else about it, that's the article he's linked. So I'm going to do March 16th, 1993. Cairo. There's the AP News article. And there it is. Here's from the New York Times on March 17th. Oh, come on. I do have newspapers.com. Well, I guess I have to go into newspapers. Or I can continue. No. No, it's on the New York Times. Crap. Well, that's all right. It's presumably the same information. I mean, it is the same article, probably, since that's just, you know, that's from the AP. But, so this bombing did happen. I mean, we can confirm that. I don't know that I assume I have ADHD, OCD, so it's like I can't let these things go anyway, so I don't like to just not really have any answer. Let me look at one more thing here. Okay, govinfolibrary.unt.edu. This is weird. I don't know what this is. Getting the hell out of that. That must not. So we found articles backing it up, and I'm not finding anything where it says who else could have. I mean, it says, who they suspected, but not, that it was adjudicated. I don't know what I'm talking about. Cairo. Yeah, there are several other bombings also, so it's kind of difficult to figure those out. I don't mean to be disrespectful by giggling and stuff. I'm sure you know I'm just medicated. So, the Egypt bombing certainly seems to be real. Don't have any reason to believe. That's weird. This one, oh yeah, it says photographed March 15th of 93. I can't really see where it says March 15th. It does. I mean, it says 93 and then 3. That's weird. It should over here have a date number, and I don't see it. If it matches up, like the other one. And the other one says 93 315. And this guy is an Egyptian police officer, is what somebody says on here. An unknown man photographed. Well, he's not claiming he knows who it is. And then this museum. And I mean, the date on there says 3/16/93. Now, the date isn't positioned in the exact same spot on each of those photos, but that doesn't mean anything. But it does, everything makes me think that it's a scam. Because that's just what I think everything is. But that makes me skeptical of the dates. I mean, everything could be true, and then he just thought, ooh, if the dates, who knows? But this guy seems like he's a very well-educated guy. I think he'd know how to do a pretty easy job of that and not make it look sloppy. But I guess it doesn't necessarily look sloppy. Let me look up an image to see what the museum looks like. Okay, so he says outside Egyptian Museum. How does the AP describe it? Yep, the Egyptian Museum. Okay, let's see. Googling an image. Oh my gosh, you guys, I have a band-aid on my finger, and it's like I cannot type anything. Okay, that picture looks like the same place. Let me go back. Okay. Yeah, that looks like the same place to me, I guess. I mean, the outside of the building, the color looks a little different, but I mean, being really nitpicky, I'm sure that's just, the time of day and the lighting and the quality of the picture and the editing and yeah, it. Looks like the museum. I can't see any details in the picture that would, you know, indicate. Like, there's no one standing there holding up a newspaper with a date on it or anything. I'm not seeing anything, you know, of note that would say one way or another. A bus photographed on March 15th, 1993. Now, he says this is clearly a picture of this bus and not the pyramid. That's definitely true. The pyramid is cut off in the picture. There's only a little bit of it, and it's far off to the side. Definitely not the focus of the picture. There's a great big bus right in the middle, and then you can see a bunch of other vehicles and like a building off in the background with some more vehicles. And there's people walking around. But, I mean, to me, it just looks like taking a picture of the tourists there. I mean, I don't, you know, I expect everything's fake, so I'm looking at it with that bias. But that date says 3/15/93. Now, these look like they're inconsistent. Well, no, they are not inconsistent places with the dates and the color of the printing of the numbers. But, you know, he could have, or anyone could have, I mean, just enhance the color or shadows or whatever, you know, so I'm not using that as any kind of evidence. This is a picture of inside the museum. Okay. Picture of him. I mean, his dad, I guess. And another picture outside the museum says the bus can be seen there. Okay, yeah, and then the next in there was Brad Jones, which we already covered. And I don't think there's anything else we need to check on that. And there's a picture of Brad Jones. Okay. We lived outside a house in Logan, Utah in the summer of 1989. Now, 1989, I think he would have been about 6 or 7. Here's someone who's posted that they're from Logan asking where it is. He didn't answer to say, but he posts a picture of a house. It's really mostly obscured by shrubbery in the picture, but I mean, he may not have been able to get up close to it, and has that as the house that they lived in outside of Logan, Utah in the summer of 89. Well, I wonder what was the, oh, those were in Montana. Sorry, I'm just putting together to see if I could match up an address, because I do have some addresses of places they lived. I mean, they don't live there anymore, and I don't have any reason to share the actual addresses, but I mean, I did find some addresses. I haven't gotten to that point yet. So I think at this point we can clear up Egypt. And we can clear up Brad Jones. And the next picture in here is the picture of the dragon that I think is kind of funny. I mean, it's a beautifully painted picture. I don't mean that's a funny picture or anything like that. It's just, it says, you know, a very new painting of a dragon on the wall. I just don't know why. And it seems like that would be significant, but look, I think all kinds of weird shit is significant, and I'm extremely confused on many, many things. Let's see if someone was able to figure out what the badges mean on the pictures of the unknown stranger. It's a Porsche logo.
Looks like a visitor's badge. I do not want emails. Oh my God. I hope they do. I guarantee Investigation Connection is on this. That is a group that can find out anything about anything. Let me see if they have anything on here. I am a member. Searching Dusty. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything posted in their group, but let me. Try the last name instead, just to make sure. Official item search thread. Oh, no, that's not it. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on there, so if I do in the future, going forward, I will for sure let you know. But yes, someone posted on there to check with them, so I definitely don't want to do any double research if they already have all the answers done. So let's close a tab and get out of there and get back to Dusty McKisson. Now, there were a lot of claims that he made about, you know, saying terrible things, you know, with his family. And I have, which, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but there are several blog posts from, it looks like mostly April of 2017. Some from Dusty and some from his brother, looking back on their happy memories with their mother and how he got such a love of reading from his mother. So, I mean, that contradicts, but I mean, certainly family dynamics and relationships are complicated. I can't say that proves anything. And welcome back to, I think this is still part two, so I guess I don't need to welcome you back. But I had to take a break earlier, and now my dogs keep having to go outside, and So anyways, I have been writing down facts all day long, and I put my facts into piles of note cards. That's right. I'm doing this as my... Oh, God, what did she call our project we had to do? Like, research, analysis, I don't know. Most of you people listening didn't go to school with me, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. So, I'll move on. Now, in my pile of notes here, I'm going to have to try and figure out... Okay, the next thing I wanted to go over is really more of the twins claim. Because, yikes. Oh, shoot, is that... Yeah. So, I have all of these notes that I wrote down. Notes that I wrote down... And this note is a note. And okay. So I almost have a little organization to this that won't make any sense to anyone but me. And I have to get my laptop here on my lap because that's where it goes. So I do have a subscription on newspapers. So
Now, that doesn't certainly include every newspaper that was ever published, so I can't say, you know, that definitively I got the answers, but I did look for birth announcements, and I'm going to have to Google some of these as I record, because I have several of the same note written down. Okay, we have 1981. Okay, Dusty McKisson posted a timeline and a skip tracing report that he had. There wasn't really a whole lot of details. The best detail that you have to hear, this is the... I mean, I hate to make light, but this is just... I can't. In September of 1984, the city declines to prosecute Peggy, that's his mother, The city declines to prosecute based on the unexpected relocation of several essential parties in the case, including the chief investigator and the McKissons' next-door neighbor. So remember how they said that there were some arsons, and I think we'll get into that later in some earlier life information, where he had said that his mother set several fires to their home. And I did find those reports, and she was charged with arson. And then, you know, as this says here, when some people moved away, they didn't feel that they had a strong enough case anymore, so they declined to prosecute her. So Peggy McKisson purchases a new Pontiac Trans Am and gets personalized license plates stating, quote, "I won." Now, that's a really great story. I have no way of knowing if it's true. I don't know if I hope it is or not, but I fucking love it. But anyways, not the arson business. It's just like, this is the Real Housewives of Arson or some shit. All right. So in this timeline, and you can see this on his Facebook page. It was posted today, the 8th. And she has... Okay, he has that 1981 is when the twin sons were born. So that would be Dusty and the twin. And there weren't any children listed in here before that. And then after that, in 1983, she gives birth to the youngest son, so that would be Cody, I'm assuming. And someone has posted on here a screenshot of a text conversation with Cody, where Cody says, and that's Dusty's brother, and he says he doesn't want to have anything to do with it and you should unfollow. But then again, do we know that that's definitely... from Cody? Everything about this is its own rabbit hole. Is everything plugged in? Okay. My IT guy stepped out. I mean, not like stepped out. So, she got personalized plates. That's nice. So she had one son and then the twin boys that are 2 years older. I don't see on here. It has to be on here where they say that he has a sister. Because I think that's the whole point of the timeline, is to put that in there. And he has listed these foreclosures and everything, which... if I would have known he already had that down there, that would have cut out a lot of the research I did yesterday. Listen to me. I make fun of the people on TV like, oh, you mean you had to actually research?
Oh God, that's terrible. There's a lot of this stuff I am not going to read out loud. I read it so you don't have to. And the comments are gold. And I'm not even saying that like being an asshole. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of information in there where people are giving their own theories. And, so it really is. There's a lot in there. There's also some funny little pettiness. Yeah, I don't see in here. I know he says that it's in 2006 when his dad, while he's on meth, tells him that he has a sister. Oh, now here it says 2005, but I know he said 2006 somewhere else. Not that it makes a difference. I mean, seriously. I can't imagine it'd be easy to keep this stuff straight. I couldn't even tell you the dates that I worked any jobs besides like the last one that I had. Or old addresses. I have no idea. Okay, yeah, here he does have, like in 2005, he started telling him stories and saying, "You're never the same after you kill someone." It says that he told, well, it just says he t said that to Dustin and Megan. So that's Dustin and his wife. Which I'm not saying anything. It's just, if you have people from different groups, would be more helpful. And then it says in 2006, while high on meth, he informs Dustin that he once had a sister. Oh. And then also that he began a friendship with Mark Malenga. I think I talked about him yesterday. He is Dusty's father-in-law, so Megan's father. And he died in 2018. And Dusty's saying that it was a suicide, but that they don't believe it was a suicide because he stabbed himself in the neck and it went in like very deep, and stuff about the gross stabbings is what he's saying makes him think it couldn't have been a suicide. But I can't find anything online, that I would be privy to that says, if it was listed as a suicide or natural causes or anything. So, which is really none of my business. The only reason I was looking is just if I could see, any verification or debunking of that claim. Why do I feel like I am on Ghost Hunters? I want to debunk their claims. Okay. So, should be on here. Yeah, he does put in here that in 2012, that's when the recording from Amber Takaro's cell phone from the night that she was last seen alive, and she's having a conversation with a man, and Dusty says that he and several family members can verify that the man on the recording is his father. Now, I'm not going to link it in here just because, frankly, I don't think I know how. But on Dusty McKisson's YouTube page, he does have a video. I don't remember what date it's from, but on his YouTube page, he has a video where he plays a couple of voicemail messages, recordings that he has of his father, and then compares it to the recording from Amber's cell phone, who is, presumably the voice of her killer. Now, I listened to it, and I mean, it doesn't not sound like him. I mean, I would say it kind of sounds like him, but it's so different. And he points it out in the video, the way you're hearing on the phone, that conversation is obviously very different than a nice family member leaving a nice voicemail message. But The voicemails from his dad sounded so super normal, but, you know, I don't know when they were from. I'm not sure. But at any rate, I mean, I don't think you could determine one way or the other from those recordings unless you're some kind of an expert who analyzed it. But just from hearing, I don't think that it's super obvious that it is or is not him. And, oh, well, we'll get into that separately. I don't want to get lost. That was the hospital in 1983. So, well, let me see. Yeah, it was 2018 when Megan's father died. But, like I said, we can't really tell. There were some things in here where he alluded to Megan's mom and his dad possibly having some kind of inappropriate relationship or something. I haven't found anything else where he said that again, so I don't know if he still suspects that or if, you know, I don't know where that stands. It really isn't any of my business, and I don't think it really affects anything to this point, but it's probably something that we'll want to keep in the back of our mind. Like everything. That's why I still have 12,000 tabs open. Oh, boy. I got my new vape. I think I already told you. It's dizzy. It really is quite smooth. Not a super strong flavor or anything, which I like. Because even when it's a good flavor, I don't like that. Oh no, the IT guy is back. Will you participate in this podcast? You can just talk to me.
Why would I want to do that?
All right, he's just going to hang around then, I guess. The dogs didn't scream, so I don't have to stop recording. I don't need any cereal. I need milk. He's such a good IT guy. He goes to the grocery store to get me allergy medicine. I'm very lucky, aren't I? He's being rude. And I'm just sitting here tattling to the whole world. Cool. He got some delicious treats. Now I'm sure you're very excited about our groceries, but I'm going to go ahead and move on. And IT guy, you keep listening to this because it's fascinating.
Okay.
Okay, so I was trying to find where there would be any birth announcement for any twin boys. He said, did you check the paper? Fuck you. So, anyway, it's a little difficult because when I was looking in the timeline to see where I should be looking, you know, to narrow it down, because although twins narrows it down, nah, not that much. I mean, not narrows it down considerably, but not to a manageable amount. And you can help remind me what I was talking about whenever I forget.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I might need you to help me right now.
Timeline.
Yeah.
Birth announcements.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, man, this is so much better already. 1981 is when he says twins were born, which, you know, he would have been one of them. Now, the very next thing he has on here is 1981/1982. The McKissons live in Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Idaho, and Wyoming. And in 82, they relocated to Idaho. So,
no.
Don't. So, I know. You're making me nervous. Okay, so I find it a little odd that the timeline he came up with today to post, he just squeezed in there that they lived in, what, 5 different states within a 12-month period. That's the 12-month period when he was born. I'm sure his birthday is in here somewhere, but oddly enough, I couldn't find Dusty's birthday. I imagine that has something to do with marijuana. But I really can't find his birth date. And I've looked on his LinkedIn and everything, because he has like 100,000 followers on LinkedIn. And I can't find his birth date other than he was born in 1981. I thought somewhere I had seen April, but I think that was someone else that was April. But regardless, I did find 1983, a June 30th entry in the South Idaho Press at Minidoka Memorial Hospital on June 26th. The son was born to them, Dave and Peggy McKisson. So that's the younger son, that's Cody. And then in 1981, I looked up, I Googled andinewspaper.com. Let me just try and Google a couple more things here because, you know, I can't remember what I Googled. Yes, I have notes. McKisson, oops, twins, twin boys, born 1981. Yeah, I did already look for that. There, I couldn't find anything on Google, but in newspapers.com, I didn't find anything when I searched that. And then I narrowed it down just to make sure, because I did find a lot of birth announcements for twin boys, more than I expected to find. But I checked each of those states, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Idaho, and Wyoming. And I didn't find any entries for the McKissons for having any children in 1981. Obviously, that doesn't mean they didn't have any, because clearly they had at least one. Unless, why don't we check a broader date range instead of 1981? Because maybe he's just saying he was born in 1981. Look, I haven't found anything that actually says he's lying, you know? So, I don't actually have any reason to think that. Okay, 1980 to, we'll do 1980 to 1982. And I will search McKisson, spelled properly, twin boys. Ray McKisson. That's not one of ours. Oh, here's something that says twins. Oh, no, it's game is super because of fans. I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Twins versus the Rangers. And that's it. Okay, wheel. Let's see if we can just find McKisson. And I'm not putting in any locations here. Oh, here's McKisson. Was on probation. That's great. No, this isn't him or anyone we're talking about. That's not. Burn. Traffic death. Oh, that wasn't him. I can't even find his birth. Did he say... Like, at one point, I think he thought his birth name was Dusty and not Dustin. I don't know. I'll search Dusty and Dustin. Nope. A no for Dusty. Huh. Well, let's try... 1975 to 1982. I got something from 1975. It's not that, though. No. Well, there's nothing. Maybe he was never even born. Oh my God. Well, now I just need to, I'm terrified. What if he wasn't born? Oh, here's another thing of his school in the poster contest. Okay, this is 1988 Wildfire Prevention Poster Contest. And he received a certificate. Let's see. In 1988. Well, I can't hardly see the picture, but it's... just a bunch of little 80s kids holding up posters. But what class does it say? Students at... Oh, first grade. So he was in the first grade in 1988. So he should have been born in like 1982. Right? I mean, 81. I guess we don't know what month, so we don't know. Still try, now I'm going to check Google. McKesson age. This says May of 1981. Nope. Just his posts. I mean, the way the post kind of went viral does cloud up the results. But I can't find anything for when he was born. How is that? I could Google myself right here and my birth date will come up. I mean, I think it will. Oh, well, I'm novelist Stephanie Osborne. Right here. See, I don't still work there, but, you know. Oh, I guess I don't see my birthday. Well, there's a bunch of other people on here. That one's not me. She's 50. Well, I guess maybe it's not as easy as I thought it was. I thought it was pretty easy to get a birth date. But that is weird that I could find a birth announcement for one, and not the other. The only thing that I found when I looked up just twins that year is there was an article about, and I'm just going to say quote because I don't think this is how you say anymore, Siamese twins born on May 5th. I mean, that wasn't them, but those were the stories. And then there was also something a little more local around here. It was Huber Heights. I mean, not here, but there were twin boys left in a dumpster. And the mother was prosecuted. So, I mean, we know who the mother is, so that certainly wasn't him. And then, like I said, in June of 83, I could find the birth announcement. And another one in July of 83 for that. And I did see a November of 85, Mrs. Dave McKisson was released from hospital. But that was just in, like, the blotter reports, you know, where it lists everyone, like, admissions and released. Ooh, I have notes on the back. What does it say? Oh, somebody gave... Oh, and another person who gave birth to twin boys while in custody. I did find in 1981 that Dave McKisson was in a... Oh, well, that narrows it down. He was in Colorado. Was that not one of the ones he listed? Oh, well, we have to check Colorado. Dave was in the golf pro-am in Grand Junction, Colorado. It was the Firestone tourney at Grand Junction, Lincoln Park on May 14th, 1981. Did you not think I was going to get this kind of information? Weird that he didn't... Look, I gotta stop speculating, because I think everybody is a liar and everything's a cult. So, we're doing 1981 in Colorado. And... twin boys. Beep boop ba da 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 da. Uh oh. Mr. and Mrs. Eldon Bevel. Born December 31st, 1980. Oh, this newspaper is from January of 81. Oh, that's still Bevel. God, that scared me. I mean, I guess I don't need to hope that it's not him, but... Three of three. Okay, that's all the matches. This is probably about... giving, oh, I guess it's not the one giving up, just some other twins in Piqua. Yeah, this is just an article about twins. There's a surprising number of articles in newspapers just about twins, like not a science or anything, but just like, these are some twins. It's like, that's fascinating. Yes, here's some more. Tom Salietta from Fruita. I don't know, but it's not our people. And I don't know. I suppose it's possible that they could say you can't put it in there, but I don't think that's a thing that they did in the early 80s. I don't know, but we'll see. Hugh Clement. I love how it's Mr. and Mrs. Stephen, Mr. and Mrs. Richard, and it's the births of the babies. Like, I understand that that's how you would do, like, use the man's name. But when they're doing the birth announcement, they don't even put the mother's first name in it. Like, excuse me. But, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Dave Holmes had me. Probably not in 1981. Here's something else with twin boys. My goodness, Colorado has many stories of twin boys from 1981.
Oh my God. Mr. and Mrs. Jack Frost of Utah are the parents of a 6-pound, 4-ounce girl. Born in February. Oh. That's unfortunate. Or fortunate, depending on how you look at it. Mr. and Mrs. Mike Karras or something? Doesn't say McKesson. Here's more twin boys in the same area. Mr. and Mrs. Chris Hyde. My God, in Grand Junction, Colorado, there is a plethora of twin boys born in 1981. Mr. and Mrs. Tom McLeod. I don't know what that means, but no. January. Mr. and Mrs. Chris Hill. Here's some twin beds. Mr. and Mrs. Robert Perry. Oh, wait, one of two. Oh, that was just the other half of the word. Look, I am serious about this reporting. I don't care how boring the podcast is. I'll get you all the answers. Boys Wranglers on sale. Twin beds for sale. A darling twin-sized bed for sale. I want to call one of these numbers and be like, I'm just calling about the bed you got for sale. I'm just kind of scrolling to make sure that all I'm seeing is still just that. Oh, here's two sets of twins born. Two sets of twins. Oh, this is Chris and Sandra Hill. And the Clifton people are... Oh, the Kings and the Hills. The Kings and the Hills. Mike and Deborah King. More ads. Twin sisters. Well, we'll look at it just to be thorough. Nope, they are in fact women. 32-year-old twins. And now we have the Minnesota twins. And now the words aren't even together anymore. And just try his name once more. McKesson. And, oh, well. Here's something from him. Oh, this is just an interview. Oh, that's not him. Somebody else with the same name. Oh, somebody else. The guy who played golf might be somebody else. Oh. Because that's in Grand Junction, Colorado. But this guy is like 900 years old. So I don't know if he was playing in any golf tournaments. Gay 50s grandmothers. Addie McKesson. I don't know what that means. I'm kind of afraid. I don't want to know anymore. This is the point where you stop the investigation. No, I don't. Carol. Oh, no, Carol wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, that's everything. So I can't find any record of his birth. So I can't find that there is a single birth or a twin birth. So there's absolutely no proving or denying that I can find. I'm sure you can probably do better than me, but I don't know. I sat here for like 24 hours and Googled everything. So maybe you can't.
Okay, where was the rest of my notes that are so good? Now, I have a picture. I'll probably just put it on the Facebook page, but there's a picture that I got a screenshot of where there's like him and his little brother and then his little cousin. And the little cousin looks like a younger, really skinny version of him. And so the pictures that he posted saying it was his twin, because he was really skinny and had like a messed up arm and stuff, to prove that that wasn't him, you know, because he doesn't have a messed up arm. But I think that really looked like his cousin, and someone did post a picture of the three of them together to prove that there's three different people. But I mean, I haven't seen anything where Dusty came up and said that, you know, yeah, that's not what I said. It was that, you know, he hasn't addressed it. So I don't, he's very good at this, whether he's telling the truth or not. Either way, he's very good at this. And what's next? Oh, on his Facebook profile. We probably better stop that since I already have about a half hour on this one. And we'll come back for part 3.